Thank you. Happy New Year to you all. Happy New Decade to you all. What will God bring St. Andrew's and All Saints in the 2020s? Well, what we're going to think about today and for the whole of January is why we're here. What our purpose is, particularly as a church. What is the vision that God has given us? And we're going to be unpacking that in our Sundays in January. But actually, as this is about all of us, whatever age we are, I wanted to just introduce it to us with all of us here before the children and young people go out, because they are such a key part of who we are and of God's story here. And about 3 years ago now, we came up with our new logo and our new strap line. And I just wanted to ask the question. There's our little badge, our little logo. And this is for children and adults. Have a look at that little badge, that little logo. What does that say about who we are? Because it's been carefully designed. Who can tell us something? What do you see in that badge that says something of who we are? And I'm looking for answers because I've got the roving mic. Who's going to kick us off? Kerry.
A path to Christ.
Brilliant, brilliant. We see a path to Christ, don't we? That little white wiggly thing. On one hand is a path to Christ. On the other hand, it's something else. What else do you see?
I see the cross is central and the light and the life flowing out from the cross.
Brilliant. Cross there is just showing that actually Jesus is at the centre of all that we do. And as well as that white line being that we're hoping that we are a path for people to come to Christ, it's also, we can think of it as a river flowing out from the cross. That actually as we just do what God's called us to do here, that we will be used by God to be a river bringing his life, his spirit into our communities. Heather, what else do you see?
I see the common and the hills, because who we are and the way that we want to serve the Lord is rooted in where we live.
Absolutely, brilliant. The common and the hills there. We're all about being here for our community in this place. Val's got something else.
I see hills and valleys, acknowledging that people have both hills, peaks and valleys in their lives.
Yeah, no, that's great. Lovely. And I think that's really important that we're here for the highs and we're here for the lows to journey with each other. Liz?
I see the different colours representing different types of people and everyone.
Brilliant. Yeah, great. Different colours representing different types of people. And particularly, the reason we've got three colours there is because they actually represent the three churches in our team of St. Andrew's, All Saints and St. Mary's. So there you go. You've probably learned something more about our logo this morning. But actually, it's there for a reason. And I hope it reminds us of who we are. But also underneath that, we have our strapline partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. And I want us to think a little bit about what that means. And I don't know about you, but when I think of partnering with, this is what I first thought of. Now, I'm not a great Strictly fan here. Who likes Strictly? Yeah. But I did watch a bit of the Christmas edition of Strictly. And I think actually watching Strictly, watching people dance very well, gives us a really good picture of what it means to partner with God. Why do I say that? Well, actually in dancing, I don't dance. But in dancing, I think, generally you have one person leading the other. Is that right, dancers? And actually when we are here, we're partnering with God, but God is leading us. That actually we are trying to keep in step with God, but actually letting God show the direction. But our job is to see what God's doing and to keep in step with him in that. And so I think that is a good illustration of what it's all about. We're here to follow what God's doing and to keep in step with him. But partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities, that word flourishing, I love that word flourishing. It's Church of England's using it a lot at the moment. What does that mean to you, the word flourishing? If anyone... And children, you're allowed to answer these too. Anyone who wants to say? Did she say florist? Flourishing flowers, yeah, great. New life. Any other words? Growth. Well-being. all of it, spreading, yeah. I think the word I was thinking of as I was looking at this was that the phrase fully alive. If something is flourishing, it is fully alive. And I think what I feel God's, our sense of God's vision for us here is that actually we want to join in with him in seeing our communities fully alive and all they're meant to be in God. We want to see each one of us fully alive and all that we're meant to be in God's. And thinking about our communities, we're talking about our schools, we're talking about our workplaces, we're talking about our homes, our families, our neighborhoods. We're talking about the community groups we're involved with. God has given us an amazing responsibility, an amazing invitation to be join him in seeing our communities flourish. Flourish with his life as people are drawn to him and as actually that river flows from people's encounter with him. And the great news is, and this is why I wanted to do this before the children go out, is that actually everyone gets to play, whether you're old or young. Now, I've put a picture, not of St. Andrew's up there, but I've put a picture of All Saints up there, one for two reasons. One, because they are a key part of who we are. But also because if you see the lady sitting in the middle, sitting down in the middle, that's Megan. Megan is 104 next month. And Megan is still serving and doing the prayer rota up there. And if Megan's still serving at 103 and 10 twelfths, 11 twelfths, we can all be part of this from the very youngest to the very oldest. And how we're doing this, well, this is what we're going to be unpacking in the next 4 weeks. It's about actually, first of all, starting with an encounter with Jesus. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Next week, we're going to think about actually growing whole life, lifelong disciples. The fact that we're not just called to be churchgoers, but we're called to be disciples, followers of Jesus, people who Jesus equips to go out and join in with his mission. However old, however young we are, whether we've been a Christian for 3 months or 50 years. Thirdly, that thing of seeing lives transformed and communities flourish, that's what we long to see, that's what we long to pray for as we do what? As we demonstrate, as we live God's love out in our lives, and as we proclaim, as we speak out the truths of the gospel and of God's love to others. And I've added a fourth one. You'll see those three on the notices, but I'm going to add a fourth one this year. We haven't quite got the wording right, but we'll get it right soon. And that is, I think this last one is so important to who we are, that actually I want to add it, passing on the baton to the next generation. That's you guys, children and young people, who are about to go out. You know, the average, I was reading this week, that the average Church of England church has 3 people under 16 in it, and 25% of Church of England churches have no young people at all. We have 60, 70 on our books, probably maybe even more. You know, God has gifted us with precious people who we are to pass the baton on. When I came for my interview 4.5 years ago, I brought a baton in with me because I had to do a presentation on this. I borrowed a baton and I passed it on. I can't remember who it was to. One of the Hamlet girls, I think, that interviewed, and talked about passing the baton on. And that is such an important part of who we are. Training, growing our young people, releasing them to minister. And it's amazing just looking back over the last year, just what we've been seeing our young people doing. So that is what we're about here. That's what we're going to unpack over this next month in our sermons and in our life groups too. That is what each one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, is part of. So I would love, you know, I'd love our young children and young people, you're going to go out in a minute, but would you just stand? Because we're going to pray for you as you go, because you are so important to us. And I want to pray a special blessing for you and your leaders as you go from us now. Lord, we thank you that you have given us a privilege of particularly seeing young lives connect up with you and grow and minister and being released into all you've called them to be. And we pray for each one of our children, young people, and each one of their leaders now as they go out to their groups. May they have a real special time of encountering you this morning and in the coming year. And may we, the rest of the church, do our part in passing the baton on to them and joining with them and with you in all that you have for us in this place. In the name of Jesus. Amen. children, young people, go with our blessing. Have a great time. We'll see you later. Let's pray, shall we? Come, Lord Jesus, and encounter us afresh today through your words. Come and draw us to yourself. Come and give us a bigger vision of who you are, we pray. As we open our ears and our hearts to you now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I love this story of the woman at the well. It's a story which has really shaped our vision and actually shaped our logo. Since Rich Johnson from All Saints Worcester came and spoke to us back in February 2017, and he gave us a really important and key prophetic word that day, which, if you haven't read it before, it's in the chapel in a frame, and go and read it. I still have that up in my study at home, and I regularly look at it and regularly read it to remind us of what God has called us to here. And we're going to look at this story a little again today, but today I want to start at the end of the story and read it backwards. Well, not literally, but read it backwards, as it were. Think about it backwards. And it finishes by saying this: "Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this man be the Messiah?' They came out of their town and made their way towards him." I wonder what happened next. Do you ever wonder that? I wonder what that town was like a week, a month, a year later. I wonder what stories we would hear from those townspeople if we could hear them tell us what's happened next. But of course we don't know. We don't know what happens. But what we do know is that people from that community were led to make their way towards Jesus that day. And I would love to suggest pretty confidently that that town was different because of that day. That lives were transformed, that the community was in some way changed for the better. It flourished more because of what happened that day. And why did that transformation happen? Why did the townsfolk come out to make their way towards Jesus? Well, it happened because one woman, one Samaritan woman, a rejected woman, an outcast among outcasts, encountered Jesus that day and was transformed. How are communities transformed? By individuals encountering Jesus one at a time. How are we as a church to be a church which makes an impact and a difference in our communities? By being a church which seeks before anything else to encounter Jesus. That encounter with Jesus that day changed that woman's life. And here in church, many of us have ourselves had our lives transformed because we too have encountered Jesus. So some of you at the carol service will have heard a lovely story, a half story. You'll hear the full version one day of someone in this congregation, I don't think they're here today, who encountered Jesus deeply almost 3 years ago to the day and changed their lives and their family's life. You know, unlike the woman at the well, we can't encounter Jesus in bodily form, but we can encounter Jesus in different ways through these. Allow him to transform us and empower us. Next week, I'll be talking about what it means to be a disciple, our calling as disciples. And I've been just mulling this over and working on this for a few months now, and I've come to a sort of a new sort of definition for myself, which I want us to hold on to, of a disciple is someone who learns to be with Jesus, to know him and walk with him in the whole of life. A disciple is someone who's learning to become more like Jesus, to become more Christ-like in our character. And a disciple is someone who is learning to live like Jesus in our context, where God has placed us, on our front lines. And that's what I'll be unpacking particularly next week. But it starts with being with Jesus. That's where the original disciples started with, isn't it? Jesus said, come and be with me, and then I'll send you out. Because ultimately it's all about Jesus. We can't do anything on our own. And in order to do all that God has called us to do and be all God's called us to be, then actually we need to be people who first and foremost dwell with Jesus and are transformed by Jesus. And we want to be people who intentionally develop strong spiritual habits, spiritual rhythms in order to help us do this. So how and where do we encounter Jesus? Well, our first bit of our strapline, of our vision statement says encountering Jesus in our worship, in prayer, through God's words, and by his spirit. And I want to unpack each one of those a little, just a little. I could preach a whole sermon on each, whole sermon series on each of those, but I'll just to say a little on each this morning. And so we start in our worship. More than anything, we are created to worship God. You know, that's actually our deepest calling in life. That's what the whole of Scripture points to. That God is worthy of our praise and that we are called to worship him. And we've seen that lovely video clip of Isaiah 6, haven't we, already today? That amazing encounter. Here's another picture that someone drew of that scene. There's Isaiah down at the bottom corner just encountering God. And what happened with Isaiah that day was that Isaiah's mind and heart were blown away by encountering the awesomeness, the greatness, the majesty, the splendor, the holiness of God. And in that encounter, Isaiah's vision of God dramatically was enlarged, and his vision of himself was diminished in comparison. That's what it shows on that picture, a tiny little Isaiah in the midst of a massive God. As he saw God's holiness, he recognized his unholiness and was brought to his knees in worship and holy fear. You know, this is what happens in true worship. Our vision of God, of Jesus, is dramatically enlarged. As we see God more clearly for who he is, who he really is, we are transformed by the encounter and we are led to our knees in praise and wonder. You know, we have some really special times of worship in our churches, and by that I don't just mean the sung worship, I mean all of the worship that we have. But you know, sadly there's a danger, I think, nationally in the charismatic church these days. The danger is that actually too easily it becomes more about us than it is about God. It can become too much about actually what we get from it, about what God's doing in us, about the experience that we have, the fuzzy feeling we have. We can go away saying, I enjoyed the worship today. You know, that's not the point. The point is that we raise up a holy God. We praise the God who just is creator of all things, who is almighty, who is all powerful, who is all holy. True worship is about making it all about God, about lifting God high. True worship is about putting Jesus back at the center of our lives in his rightful place. True worship leads us to our knees in repentance and wholehearted surrender to God's will. You know, will you pray, continue to pray with me this year that our worship, that is the whole of our services and the whole of our life outside of here, will continue to deepen and be all about God's? Will you continue to pray for an increase in the transforming presence and power of God in our worship that will lead us to a bigger vision of who God is and will lead us to wholehearted surrender to him and his ways? Encountering God, encountering Jesus in our worship. And then encountering Jesus in our prayer. You know, this term for us is a term where we've particularly been led to focus on prayer. And so I'm not going to say much about this now, as we'll be unpacking this a lot in the coming weeks, over the next 3 months. But I do want to just say one thing and share it personally from me. And that's the longer that I'm a Christian, the more deeply I think I realize this and know this, that that prayer at its heart is not about sending God our to-do lists. It's not a duty that we ought to perform to be a good Christian, or something we need to earnestly strive at even. Now, at its heart, prayer is all about relationship. It's all about being with our Heavenly Father, receiving His love and affection and giving it back. Prayer is about sitting with Jesus and allowing Him to transform us more into His likeness and into our true identity. Prayer is about aligning us with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to empower us and direct us to live Jesus' way in the places He's put us. We'll say more about prayer, but I really want to encourage you to connect up with this culture of prayer series we're particularly having in January and the evenings that Peter is heading up and starting tonight up at All Saints at Deeper. But also want to just encourage you again to commit to getting to healthy rhythms yourself of prayer. You know, I still keep giving away these. If you haven't had one of these, please collect one. There's a load on the door, on the table by the door on the way out. These are daily prayer guides, which a lot of us have found really helpful to do, which help us to get into patterns of prayer. Also, the Mortimers, particularly, if you hadn't realised, every month are putting together a monthly prayer diary for St Andrew's and All Saints with something to pray for what's going on in the churches each day during the month. They also are on the table outside by the front doors there. Grab one of those. Get into the habits of praying regularly for what God is doing in this place. Encountering Jesus in prayer. And I want to add in the ordinary. You see, we're not just a word church here, but we believe passionately in the work of the Holy Spirit, pointing us to Jesus, guiding us, empowering us, transforming us. And so we seek to be committed to both word and spirit, committed to seeing the truth in the word of God, committed to be open to the leading of the Spirit in the ordinary things of life. And you know, I think it's the Holy Spirit particularly who helps us to encounter God in the ordinary things of life. Going back to the woman at the well there, she encountered Jesus at the well, doing her normal daily routine, the modern day equivalent of meeting God at the washing up, or meeting God in the hoovering. That's where she had her big encounter. Do we expect to meet God in our homes? Do we expect to meet with God in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our Pilates class out on the hills? Or do we just expect to meet God in church? You know, the great news, He's there wherever we are, ready to meet us in the unexpected places through His Spirit, if only we are open. And I love the encounter which the woman has at the well here. First she meets Jesus at the well. Look what happens. Jesus reveals to her the truth of her situation. He says to her, you've had five husbands, and the man you're now living with isn't your husband. And what he's there doing there is he's exposing the deep truths of actually the emptiness of her life. He's exposing to her actually the deepest needs that she has to be loved, to be accepted. He puts his finger on those things. He says what he sees. But then he doesn't just leave her exposed. He doesn't just leave her in a helplessness and despair and failure. But he says, here is my living water. Water which, if you take it, you will never be thirsty again. Water that will quench your deepest thirst. You know, he offers to come with his transforming power and bring life in all its fullness to her desperate situation. Isn't that what we long for ourselves, for our friends, for our communities? For Jesus to come in the ordinary things and bring his transforming power and life in all its fullness to our most desperate situation, some of which maybe nobody else knows about. You know, maybe you're sitting here today and actually you, this is quite new to you. Maybe you don't know this Jesus yet. Maybe you don't know God in the way that I've been talking about this morning. Maybe you know deep down, hidden from everyone else, the emptiness in your life, like the woman at the well experienced that day. Maybe actually you're beginning to sense there's something more, that there's something special about this Jesus guy, but you've still got lots of questions. Well, you know, we'd love to invite you to come and join us on that journey. We're starting Alpha here in on the 22nd of January. Come for that taster session for a meal. Come and watch a film. Come and have a discussion. Come and just talk to others. No question is out of bounds. Come and try it. If you don't like it, we'll never hound you again. Or maybe have you got friends there who actually you know just an invitation to this is what God's putting on your heart for this next couple of weeks. If you want to find out more about Alpha, talk to Colin. Colin, stand up and give us a wave. Chat to Colin afterwards. There are invitation sign-up sheets on the table by the door. We'd love to invite you to come and explore with us. And actually, I want to say too, maybe you've been sitting in church for years, but still don't feel that you know God as it's talked about from the front here. Then actually, Alpha isn't just for people who haven't been to church for a while. It's for anyone who wants to explore and go deeper about those things. Anyone is invited. And finally, for those of us who are on this journey already with God, I sense God when I read this and was preparing for this this week, giving us a little challenge from this story, a little exercise to try in the coming days about encountering Jesus in the ordinary on our front lines. You know, Jesus standing by the woman at the well in that ordinary place, he told her what he saw deep into her life. He revealed to her the reality of her situation and then offered his life-giving water. And as I was thinking about this and writing this on Thursday, I felt God say to me, I want you, Dave, to sit with me in your imagination, in the ordinary places of your life. And I want you to ask Jesus, what does Jesus see? And where does Jesus want to bring his life-giving water? You know, tomorrow I'm going to do that with some of the staff team. Bit of a heads-up, staff team. I'm going to invite them to just find a place in church and sit for 20 minutes. And imagine sitting with Jesus next to us, asking that question, Jesus, what do you see here? Where are you at work? What's going on? What do you want me to notice? Where do you want me to bring my life-giving water? But last Thursday when I was doing this, I sensed God say something else to me. I sensed God say, sit with me and let me tell you what I see with your family. And so I did just that. I sat in the chapel and I closed my eyes and I imagined me with Jesus next to me looking on my family. And I said, Jesus, what do you see? What do you want to show me? What do you want to show me about being a dad, about being a husband? What do you want to show us about our family? And actually, I'm not going to go into details. I can talk to you about it afterwards. We're running out of time. But actually, God met me in that place and just revealed some really helpful stuff for me as I reflect and allow the Spirit to just be at work in my imagination, just God to speak to me about my family. So what I want to leave with you to do this week, I want to encourage you to find some time this week to find an ordinary place of your life. And to sit with Jesus in your mind, in your imagination, in that place. And to take some time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you see? What do you want to tell me? What do you want to show me? Where do you want to bring your life-giving water here? And just see what God does. Maybe actually it's about your workplace. If you're going back to work this week, go and take 10 minutes out to walk around your workplace with Jesus. And say, Jesus, will you show me as I look at my colleagues where you're at work? Who's hurting? Maybe he'll even give you a prophetic word that will speak into someone's situation, which you'll be able to go to them and say, I just sense actually maybe you need some prayer for this. Can I pray for you? Who knows what God will do? But I think God wants us to encounter him in the ordinary and be open and see what he does. So I really encourage you to do that this week. And just see what happens and maybe share it at your life groups. So will we be this year, this decade, committed to encountering Jesus first and foremost in our worship, in our prayer, in the words, and by the Spirit, and just see what God does when we dwell with him. I'd love to invite us to just stand and just be still for a moment and encounter God in the stillness. And just let's just stop and have no words. And just ask Jesus to speak to us now about what he wants to say to each one of us this morning. Just the words that are coming into my mind that are just what God wants to say to us this morning is just that he loves you deeply. And that he longs for you to be fully alive in him. That he's longing for you this year to be fully alive in Jesus. Whatever that means for you. But he wants you to know his love. He wants you to know how passionate he is for you. And he wants to walk with you into this year. We're going to sing a couple of songs now and have a chance to continue to encounter God in the music there. Or maybe you want to sit and just dwell with God in some of that. Or I'm also going to create space at the back there, and there's going to be some people who are offering to pray for anybody who wants to. But a real sense of just saying, if you are here and you just long for a deeper encounter with Jesus this year, starting today, I'd love to invite you to just go and receive some prayer, or just to maybe even get on your knees and just ask that to God. Particularly maybe if you're here today and actually you feel God's been distant for so long. Maybe you felt there's a barrier between you and God for so long, and actually you just want that broken this morning. You know, please do go and receive some prayer. Or maybe actually if you just sense, I want Jesus to break through in the ordinary. I want to see Jesus at work in the ordinary of my workplace or my home or my neighborhood or wherever. You know, there are people at the back there. I'm going to go to the back in a moment. And there'll be people there who would love to pray for you. So just use this space, this next few minutes, to do whatever you need to do to allow God to continue to work in you this morning.